I want to tell you about my deal with the Lord. I made a deal with the Lord. When I was about 25 years old, which is about 40 years ago, in the fall of 1980, I made a deal with the Lord Jesus. I told him that if he would do something for me, I would do something for him for 30 years. And today, the 30 years are finished. Here's how it happened. My first year of teaching, I went to Bible school for 3 years right after high school. I was not planning any ministry at that time. I just did it to strengthen my faith. And at the end of those 3 years, someone invited me to teach first year Bible, for 1 year, teach first year Bible at a small Bible school for First Nation students. I was 21 at the time. The thought scared me. I felt completely unprepared, but I had no other plans for that year. I felt kind of lost, and so I did it. I agreed. I taught the Bible for 75 minutes every morning, 5 days a week. I had almost no other books to use, just the Bible. And whatever I remembered from my own Bible school, I didn't take notes in those days, so it was just from memory. And I learned during that year to read a part of the Bible, a chapter or so, and then read it again, and then read it again, and think about what I was reading so I could talk about this part of the scripture the next morning to the students and make sense to them. I had some other responsibilities with the school, with the students and for the school, but my main job was several hours of study so that I could teach the next day. And I did that from September to May. And I realized by spring that I liked this. This was actually the most meaningful thing I had ever done. I didn't see that coming. I could do this the rest of my life. But there was far too much I did not know about the Bible. So if I was going to teach the Bible, I must go back to school myself. So in that fall, I went back to school at what's now called Providence so that I could teach in a Bible college or something like that. Pulpit supply. 4 years later, in my last year of jumping 4 years to my last year of seminary, I was living in St. Pierre with a roommate. I still had teaching in my mind. I was preparing to be a teacher, but through these years, I was always pretty active in a local church. And if someone asked me to preach, I normally said yes, and I preached there. So in the fall of the last year of my master's degree, I saw an advertisement on the seminary bulletin board. Two little alliance churches west of Winnipeg shared a pastor, and their pastor had moved on, and they wanted a seminary student to preach in those two churches every Sunday. So this is my last year of seminary, so from October to April of that year, I drove 1.5 hours to Oakville, from St. Pierre to Oakville, where their service began at 9:30 Sunday morning. And they finished about 10:30, and then I drove for 15 minutes to get to Poplar Point, and their service began at 11. And I would preach basically, I preached the same sermon twice. They were both small churches, each one about the size of our church, perhaps 100 people between the two of them. And that ended in April, when I graduated and left Manitoba. And it went pretty well, at least I thought so, and I remember thinking, I like these people. I could do this. Pastoring is not as bad as I thought. Pastoring a small rural church, it would be a good life. It's not nearly as bad as I thought it would be. And that's remarkable. That was a very big change of thinking, that was actually doable and could be enjoyable. But my first love was still teaching, and that's what I wanted. So two things happened in my last year of seminary, and the first one was pulpit supply to those two churches, and the other one was that a teacher told me I should consider doctoral studies. During that school year, one of my papers impressed one of my teachers. This was not normal. I'm not an A student. I worked fairly hard, and I got B's. I didn't kill myself, and I didn't get A's. But one of my papers impressed a teacher. It was not a research paper, really. It was a study that required us to read the book of Hebrews carefully. And the teacher met me in the hallway after he had graded it, and he said, "That was a fine paper, Ed. Have you ever considered doctoral studies? I think you are the kind of student that would do well in the PhD program. You should consider doctoral studies." Well, no, I had never considered doctoral studies. I knew that the colleges I wanted to teach at were more or less only hiring teachers that had a PhD, and I didn't know what I was going to do about that, but it had never occurred to me to pursue that myself. But now it did. He said he thought I could do this. And all kinds of happy bells and whistles went off in my head about that. And I was stunned at his suggestion, and I was delighted. This was something people did. They studied, and they got their doctorates, and then they became teachers. Others had done this. Could I do this? And so by the end of that school year, by the time I finished seminary, I had decided to apply to some PhD program somewhere and to give it my best shot, and maybe it would work. So I finished seminary in the spring of 1980, and by then I was already making plans and starting to inquire and begin to apply to enter doctoral studies somewhere. And that whole business scared me badly. Once the first excitement over, I got real nervous. I could not do this in Canada. There were only a couple of universities in Canada that offered what I wanted, and Providence was not accredited at that time, so these schools would not accept my master's degree. The universities in the U.S. or in Great Britain would, but not Canada. So I had to move to another country, and yuck. And how was that going to go? And how on earth was I going to pay for this, going to school in a country where I could not work? I had paid for most of my own schooling to that point, but I had no way to finance this. And was I smart enough to do this? You had to be smart to do this. I was never the top student. And also, on top of my own ability, mentally, intellectually, and financially, I doubted my motives. The first Bible school I went to did not like academic study for ministry. They were pretty clear at this school, at least some of the teachers were, that 3 years of Bible school was all anyone needed for any ministry. And after that, people only went to school to get the respect of people, not of God, or to make more money. And people went to this higher education and they lost their faith. And people who pursued too much school traded in their heart knowledge and just got head knowledge. They went to the school loving the Lord and they came out knowing more but not loving the Lord anymore. And I'd heard about all this. And folks, it's all true. All of those things do happen. Make no mistake. All of those things have happened like that, and they still do. But I wanted to learn. I wanted to love the Lord with my heart and my soul, and also love Him with my mind. Why could I not love the Lord with all my heart and soul and also with my mind? So I loved the Lord, and I wanted to serve Him. And I, for reasons I still don't quite understand, I wanted to learn as much as I could. Why should those who attack the gospel know more than those who announce it? When our bodies are in trouble, we want someone who studied for years and years. Why would we treat our souls differently? Mostly, I just wanted to learn, but I was nervous about all these things. And so, I made the deal. I made a deal with the Lord that fall, in the fall of 1980. In those days, I regularly walked by myself in the evening, in the dark, and I prayed. And the deal went like this. Lord, your ministry lasted 3 years, and you spent a lot of time with just 12 men. And I will probably be able to serve you for 30 years after I finish school. If you will help me get a PhD, Lord, I will serve a church with 12 households for 30 years. You gave your ministry largely to 12 men. I will give my ministry to 12 households. I'm not after fame, and I'm not after money, and I don't need to get a job teaching at a Bible college or a seminary. I'd like that. But what I really want to do is to learn more. I want to get a PhD, and then I'll serve you without fame or money or a teaching job. Lord, for your whole ministry, you focused on 12 disciples. If you help me get my PhD in biblical studies, I'll serve a church with 12 households for my whole ministry. Let's say 30 years. I didn't pray that every day. But when I got scared, that's how I prayed. And it was a way of getting the Lord's help. And it helped me adjust my own motive so that I could say that honestly. And I did. When I said that, I meant it. I was young. I was naive. But I did mean it. So that would have been, I started praying that way in the fall of 1980. And doctoral studies began in 1982. And I didn't pray that way anymore because I wasn't scared in the same way. I had stuff to do. And the short story is that the Lord helped me get my PhD. I studied at university for 2 years and had a little bit left, which I finished up later, which is common in that business. They were hard years, mostly not because of the studies, but because my marriage at the time was in distress. At that university, for every 3 students that began doctoral studies, only one ever finished. I didn't know that when I started, but that is how it was there. That's not that uncommon. So the Lord helped me finish, pure and simple. He did what I asked him to do. And at the end of my studies, Providence Seminary hired me to teach New Testament there. And that was the fall of 1984. This was all my dreams come true. I was so pleased. I was also terrified. I was young and dumb, but still I was very pleased. When I was interviewed there for that job, someone asked me, "What would you like to be doing in 10 years? And I said, "This position is all I ever wanted. I hope in 10 years to be teaching right here, only doing it better than I do it at the start." So, I started after my first year of teaching. My first wife, Patty, moved out. That was a tough year. I lived alone and continued to teach. And after my fourth year of teaching, Patty and I were divorced. And a year later, Marilyn and I got married, and I was so happy. And then Providence let me go because I was divorced and remarried. So I'm packing a lot in there, but that's what happened. I started teaching. 1 year later, my first wife left. 4 years later, we were divorced. After 5 years of teaching, Marilyn and I were married. And then after 6 years of teaching, I was let go. That was 1990. 30 years ago. I'd been teaching there for 6 years at that time, and 1990 was the year this church started. 7 young families, the age of young families in this church now, began the Kleefeld Christian Community. And people, our first Sunday was 30 years ago today. First Sunday of September 1990. And as of today, I have kept my part of my deal with the Lord. I have served a small church for 30 years. On that day, though, I was not thinking about that promise at all. Not at all. We were just starting a church. And in the early years of this church, I felt a lot of disappointment. I served this church part-time, and I was a part-time health care aide at the Grunthal Mena Home. And I had, when our church started, I had certain expectations which I kept completely to myself about how this church would go, and they did not happen. I had been teaching Bible at the seminary for 6 years, and by the end of that, I was a reasonably popular teacher. I had learned quite a lot, and I did well in the classroom, at least that's what I thought. And this was a great church, it was a totally refreshing church, that's what I thought. And I just knew we were going to grow. Just watch and see. This church is doing just the right things. And with my wonderful, spirit-anointed Bible sermons, this church is going places. Just wait and see. That's what I thought. It's arrogant to talk like that, but I certainly thought like that. But it didn't happen. It didn't happen like that. 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, didn't happen. We stayed about the same size. A few families joined. The 7 increased maybe to 10, but then some would leave. And in those years, I experienced a lot of doubt. What were we doing wrong? What was I doing wrong? I assumed that if we were following the Lord and living in His ways, and if His Spirit was leading us and leading me, then of course people would be hungry for this, and they would come, and this church would grow and get big. But it didn't happen that way. And I didn't know what was going on. Obviously, we were failing the Lord, and I was failing the Lord in some important way, and I had no idea what that was. I didn't talk about this much, but I was discouraged, quite discouraged for some years, and I was fed up with myself, and I didn't like what I was doing, and I had no idea what to change. So the first thing that was necessary was for me to learn that I was not nearly as great as I thought I was. Whatever else I was confused about, that was pretty clear. And I thought I was the answer, and I was not the answer. I needed pruning, and I got it. And then, about the fifth or sixth year of this church, one day I had a mild recollection of the deal that I made with the Lord. If He'd helped me get my PhD, I'd serve a church with 12 households for 30 years. So I remember this about the year 95. I'd prayed that way 15 years earlier in 1980, and for most of the 15 years, those words had not crossed my mind at all. But at around 95, 96, around year 5 of this church, I had a mild recollection of that deal with the Lord. And in the next week or so, the next few days, my mind went back there and the memory got clearer and I remembered what I'd said and why I'd said it. You see, when I finished school, I finished my PhD and I got the job teaching at Providence, I sort of assumed the deal was off. The Lord had decided not to come and collect from me what I had offered Him, which was fine. But it dawned on me now, in about year 5 or 6 of this church, what if He had waited for five or six years of teaching at Providence, and then He had come to collect? The more I thought about it, the more that felt like that's what was happening. So then I thought, well, can I do this another 25 years? Actually, I hope not. And I had no idea, but people, my relief was huge. When I thought about this deal and realized that could be the explanation about why this church was not growing, that was such good news. A burden fell off me. See, the small size of the church was not my failure to serve Him well. It was the Lord holding me to an old agreement. And that was just pure good news. I was actually being faithful and I didn't know it. See, I guess my biggest disappointment was really that I was missing the mark with the Lord, and the church is not growing, so obviously we're doing something wrong and I'm doing something wrong. And that unnerved me. But if this was actually the Lord holding me to a deal, then I was still being faithful to Him, and I was much relieved. And around the same time, someone I don't know who told me that when the apostles write letters to churches, they never say anything about the size of the church. They never say anything about if the church is growing or shrinking. They never say anything about whether new people are coming to church or not. They don't care about that. They care about other things. And that helped me too. So I decided to be faithful to the Lord and leave the rest to Him. And I told this to a church care meeting back then. When I realized it, I did not take very long to tell people about this then. And I said, if you want this church to grow, throw me out, just like Jonah, out of the boat. It won't grow while I'm here. So they decided to keep me anyway, which was nice. Someone in the church said to me around that time, why don't you ask the Lord to release you from the vow? And I said, not a chance. I told Him if He helped me, I would do this. And He did help me, so I'm going to do this. Besides, the Lord can make this church grow anytime He wants. He does not need my permission. I'm not holding Him to this. That was at year 5 or 6 of that church. And for 5 years, I had not known why this church wasn't growing. And I'll tell you, for the next 25 years, I've been thanking the Lord that he won't let this church grow. I have talked to so many pastors of large churches over the years and quietly thanked God that I was serving this little church, not their big church. Folks, I've had that talk with the Lord many, many times. In spite of all this, I still assumed at that time that if I ever took a teaching job again at Providence or somewhere else, I would leave this church and teach, because I still view teaching as my first calling. I know this is inconsistent with me hanging on to that deal, but I'm inconsistent. I'm actually like that. So in 2001, which was year 11 of this church, Providence offered me a full-time job in the seminary Bible department. Wow! So they changed their minds, and that's a long story. I'm skipping over lots of stories here. So they offered me this job, and I had assumed all along that if that ever happened, I would resign from Kleefeld Christian Community. And when they actually offered me the job, and I started to plan how I was going to do this, I found out I couldn't do it. I could not walk away from this church. It's like the Lord said to me, Ed, you can take the Providence teaching offer or not. That's your business. But you're not leaving those people, and you're not leaving that church, and that's final. And this surprised me. I did not expect that. I had been planning all along that at that point I would leave the church, but I couldn't. I wasn't even close. I didn't know what to do, but leaving the church was not one of the options. And so I tossed and turned. And I decided to do both. I would teach full-time, and I would also pastor part-time. Well, those were hard years for us, for Marilyn especially. Two jobs like that, we had four young children. And I don't know if I did the right thing, tell you the truth. Perhaps I should have done something differently. I don't know right now what it would have been, which proves nothing at all. But this was my surprise at that time, that I was unable to resign from this church. But as I continued on in those years, between 2000 and 2010, I knew that once I got older, I would not be able to keep teaching full-time at Providence and also serve this church well. And in those hard years, I always assumed that when I could no longer do both, I would pull back from this church and stay with Providence, since my first love was teaching, which I did love. But 8 or 10 years ago, I'm not sure, somewhere like that, I don't know, don't remember when exactly, when I really did need to pull back somewhere, it was Providence that was ringing me out, not my work with you people. So at Providence then, I cut back to 0.8 to full-time, and then to 0.6 to full-time a few years later, and then to 0.5 to full-time. And this surprised me. Again, I had always thought that I would do that with this church, but when it was time, that didn't feel right. And I was glad that it was happening that way, that I was slowing down at Providence and continuing with this church. This church was a good place to be. You all treated us well. And I did not want to walk away from this. So now I'm quite part-time at the seminary, and when I need to reduce more, that is what I will drop. And in these last 8 years or so, it has finally dawned on me that I might really keep my part of the deal. If the Lord kept me going, I've been saying, I will do my best to finish this. And folks, we are here. Today is the day. For quite a few years, we've had less than 12 households, and now a few more, but still about 12 active households, and this very Sunday marks 30 years. You can tell by now that this is not a story about my determination to keep that promise. I was always determined to serve the Lord, but not to keep that promise. That didn't happen until quite recently. So basically, folks, the Lord himself kept both parts of that deal. First, he helped me get my PhD, and then he steered me into serving a small church for 30 years. And when I wanted out, he would not let me. But here's the thing. He could not have put me in a better place. There have been a few hard times, but overall, this has been a very good place to be. You people have been faithful family and loyal friends, and you've taken care of us in so many ways. And so many times I've been glad we were in this church and not some other church. And now, after 30 years, I am totally content to be doing less and less teaching there and to focus on this body of believers. I need to speak here for a minute about Dave and Sharon. Their family started attending our church in year two or three, and they dug in right away, and they have shaped this church hugely just by being here. And Dave, you've been a wonderful friend to me. And Sharon, you and your children have been good for us all and for so long. And many others of you have been good friends for years and years as well. We are very rich. Me and my household are so rich. And then there's that Marilyn. She never asked for this. She found out about my deal with the Lord about the same time I remembered it, several years into the life of this church. Before we were married, Marilyn had a new job and lived in a new province every 2 years. And to stay in one little Mennonite town for 30 years, heaven forbid it. Anything but that for her. But she dug in, folks, and she loved me, and she loved her children, and she loved all of you in ways that I cannot. And you know that's true. And she knows things about people and about God that I don't know. She's wise. And she did not make any deal with the Lord, but she is a fearless warrior in the kingdom. She and I have done this as a tag team right from the start. And she also, I think, has come to see my deal with the Lord as a kindness to both of us, to her as well. And that's because of what the Lord does in all of you and through all of you. So I thank God for Marilyn. She is the delight of my eyes to this day. Today, this day finishes something that I started 40 years ago. I had no idea. So the Lord gives me now the dignity of telling you that I told the Lord, if you just do this for me, I'll do that for you for 30 years, and it's complete. And the Lord gives me the right to say that, and I'm saying it. But folks, that's not what happened. What happened was that when I made that deal with Jesus, who has scars on his hands and on his feet, he said to himself, I can work with this. I will see Ed through both parts, all of this, right to the end. And as of today, he has done this for me. Amen. Let's pray. Will you stand, please, and we'll pray. Lord, when David gave you thanks for your work in him, he said, what can I say, Lord, for you know your servant? And for me the same. What can I say, Lord, you know your servant? And you said that we all could be confident that the one who began a good work in us would complete it, and that the one who calls us is faithful, and he will do it. And you are doing this in all of us. You are doing this in all of us. O God, complete in us what you have begun. You have called us, and be faithful and do it, please. Amen. And if you're not rising, would you rise for the benediction? To him who is able to keep us from stumbling and to present us before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.